You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. All right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Yeah, you know, right now we have the atmosphere of a JC softball game. You know, I mean, that's what we are, a JC softball team. As long as, you know, it's not whether you win or lose. It's like the team that wins is the one that has the most fun. You know, that crap like that. You know, all this stuff that's contaminated America, where they give every kid a trophy and they don't keep score in Little League anymore.
As we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't like it. It's the only time we're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
Winning the SEC probably is harder than winning the national championship. Do you know that?
So how about them fucking dogs?
Hey. Turn that damn jukebox off!
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast, presented by my bookie. I'm your host, Mike Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee Homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I need a drink.
You sound better today.
Oh, I appreciate it. I feel like I need a drink, but I'm holding that at bay for just one more day. Friday night, that's going to be my drinking day. But, yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm like Nick Saban, buddy. I'm getting stronger as we get closer to kickoff, and I'm going to make it.
You just need one more false positive test, Mike, or false negative. What is it called? I don't know. I can't keep up with them. But, no, man, it was a great day. Went hiking. Man, it got damn near 80 degrees out there today. So I guess we just skipped winter, which is awesome. So, it was good. Get out. I was kind of disconnected there for a little bit. Think about my thoughts, think about my lock of the week. Cause, Mike, I'm feeling like going 2-0 here. I'm starting a new streak. So I think the gamblers will be excited.
Speaking of Alabama, you got me. I just wanted to make this note because I did see this. Remember when Saban tested positive, the AD, Greg Byrne, also tested positive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently they just never tested that guy again for whatever reason. I guess he wasn't integral to the game plan there against Georgia. How interesting is that?
That's awesome. He keeps calling like, you sure you don't want me to come in? Nah, you just stay there. Just let it run its course. So, no, it was all about getting Saban on the field, man. And they were pumping him full of drugs and medicine, I'm sure. You know, he said never had symptoms. You know, I don't know what false positive means. But, clearly I know what the vocabulary means. But, you know, these tests and stuff, they're up and down. And you know, watching the NFL, people, you know, the team's getting shut down. The organization's getting shut down. They're like, wait. We good. That was just a bad test. You know, it's like, could you imagine anything else, man? Could you imagine getting pulled over on the side of the interstate and the officer's like, hey, blowing this breathalyzer and you hit it real good. And he's like, ooh, yeah, we're going to take you in, buddy. You know, they lock you up the next day. They're like, oh, we just realized this machine isn't working right. You can go on home.
Exactly. So very interesting situation down there. But hey, enough about that. We got some games to pick. And even before we get to that, Shane, we got the second edition. We got another outstanding That SEC weather forecast from our buddy Chris Nully.
You know, you want a prediction about the weather. You're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's going to be cold. It's going to be gray, and it's going to last you for the rest of your life.
Stadium, it has been raining throughout the Southeast.
and Wayne will be a factor in today's game.
Did about half the practice yesterday, wet ball today, everybody that handled the ball was wet. So that's all we can do to prepare for it. We can't make it rain, so.
Time for a look at that game day forecast. First game of the slate, Auburn at Ole Miss. Now, this game is in Oxford, a 12 p.m. Eastern kickoff. The high temperature is going to be 67 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, but it should remain dry for this game. Kickoff temperature going to be in the upper 50s, and by the fourth quarter, those temperatures will warm up into the low 60s. The wind going to be about 5 to 10 miles per hour from the northeast, but that's not expected to have any impacts on the game. Second game of the day, number 2 Alabama going up to Knoxville, Tennessee to take on the Volunteers. This is the CBS game, so a 3:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff time. High of around 71 degrees, so it's going to be nice out there. Not too hot, not too cold. There is a chance for some spotty showers, though, especially during the morning hours. Isolated showers possible by kickoff, but it should be a drying trend by that point. Temperature of 69 at kickoff, and then as we head into the fourth quarter, temperature is going to fall down to around 65 degrees, and it should be dry at that point. And north wind at 5 to 10 miles per hour as a cold front works through the area. This game right here going to be cold. Kentucky at Missouri. So up there in Missouri, a cold front going to move through. Temperatures are going to struggle in the 40s for most of the day. Wind chills likely going to be in the upper 30s, lower 40s. At kickoff, that temperature will be at 48 degrees, but again, the wind chills colder than that. And then by the fourth quarter, a temperature of 44 degrees, an east northeast wind at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And the final game of the day, we only have four games this weekend for all the SEC folks out there. South Carolina at LSU. This game down in Baton Rouge, 7 p.m. kickoff Eastern. The high is going to be 85. So if you're tailgating out there, it is going to be hot and humid. But a cold front is going to gradually work its way through. This will create isolated storm chances, especially early in the day. I think there's going to be a downward trend in the rain chances as we get beyond lunchtime. So not looking like there will be any impacts for the game. No delays due to lightning. Kickoff going to be around 75 degrees, and by the fourth quarter, those temperatures slowly falling to around 72 with light winds from the north around 5 to 10 miles per hour. And that humidity is going to decrease throughout the game. So of the four games we have this weekend, no significant impacts from weather other than the Kentucky-Mizzou game. With that game being so cold, a little bit blustery out there, it'll be interesting to see how the football players react to such cold conditions. But other than that, not expecting wind or precipitation to have any major impacts on any of the games this week.
That's Chris Nulley. You can give him a follow at Chris Nulley, N-U-N-L-E-Y. He give you the lowdown every day on what's going on in the weather. It's a really great follow for all you weather nerds out there. And hell, he's giving us advice here on gambling, so you can't beat that. Hey, Shane, you ready to make some picks on these games here?
Hell yeah, man. That was a great segment. And I want to thank Chris, man. I had a lot of people reaching out, you know, took that under on that Arkansas last week because of the wind. So that paid off.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty prophetic. Matt Corral, I think, had no interceptions, and then he had six right off the bat. So, and all throughout that damn game, those announcers were referencing the win. Sound like they listened to the podcast. I don't know. All right, Shane, so we got four games to pick. You ready to do it?
Let's do it.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Not only am I picking Toledo to cover, I'm picking Toledo to win outright.
I can't kick your ass, B. Heard you say that.
he kicked my ass regardless.
Exactly.
They're going to beat the brakes off Miami. You watch it.
Mike, if Florida wins this damn game, I will sing the fight song Monday. It ain't happening, brother. Yeah, orange and blue. waving forever, forever pride, old Florida. May she droop
never. Here. I forgot to hit record, so you got to do that again.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm recording it. All right, Shane, starting with the only noon game. We only got four games on the slate this week in the SEC. So we'll go with the noon Eastern, 11 o'clock Central on SEC Network. We got the Auburn Tigers at Ole Miss. Auburn, 3.5-point favorite on the road in Oxford. Who do you like in this matchup?
Oh, Mike, you know, I hate to knock out a lock this early, but with four games, you had a 25% shot. And I think, you know, when I think of these two teams, I think of two different programs, Mike. I think of an Auburn Tiger team that is against the ropes, that is undecided on how they want to fit in the SEC. It's been ugly, man. Yeah, they've got, you know, what, two wins now, but the Arkansas game,
mm-hmm. you so know, really only one.
So Kentucky game. I mean, even that, you know, was a little bit fluky and mm-hmm. and had to have some balls bounce their way. I am not impressed with Auburn. And of course, you guys know this. I love the running game. Bigsby is fantastic. I mean, he is elite. But it's like almost like these coaches just can't say, you know what, we're just going to run all the time. You know, it's like, no, we're going to try to make Bo Nix work. And apparently that's not working. The only thing Bo's capable of do is scrambling around, and he's lost his mojo. He's got to get that back. I don't think he bounces back this week down there at Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is another team that is just right there on the edge. They've been in about every game that they've played this year. Last week, you know, still in the game with seven turnovers. I think Matt Corral, I think Coach Kiffin, I think this was a humbling experience last week, and they've been in that film room. They've been studying. They're going to dial something up, and I'm just not confident Gus and the boys will have an answer for him. So early mm-hmm. lock of the week. I've got Ole Miss winning this game, not just getting the spread, but winning 35, Auburn 24.
Ooh. I'm glad you locked that one up, Shane, because I was, you know, I can't disagree with anything you said there, Shane. This is one where I'm kind of split. I could really see either team winning this ball game, and for a number of factors, like you referenced Matt Corral, he could certainly have a big game. Not a big believer in what we've seen from Bo Nix. Hell, everybody knows I'm not a big believer in Chad Morris and what he's doing in his coaching career. I think the guy's a complete fraud. And it's certainly looking the way things are trending there on the plains. And one other thing I was going to reference. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix, he's only won two road games his entire career. One of them was, ironically, against Chad Morris last year at Arkansas, which, hell, everybody was beating them last year, and the Texas A&M game. So those are the only two games that he has won. So this is dangerous picking Bo Nix and Auburn as a favorite on the road. I mean, my goodness, what are we doing here? But on the flip side, Auburn certainly has the deeper team. They got the more talented team, at least when you're talking depth, because certainly what we've seen, Ole Miss has got a number of outstanding offensive players, and their defense started to come around a little bit last week. And certainly when you – if you just look at the scoreboard, you're going to say, well, hell, Arkansas scored 33, but there was a couple pick sixes. There was several interceptions that were converted into points. So you can't put that on the Ole Miss defense. If they come to play like they did, you might be dead on here, Shane. You might be right where they'll limit Auburn. They'll win the game outright. But, you know, while I was very impressed with South Carolina last week, beating Auburn, we both predicted it. You locked up the Gamecock, so I know you saw that one coming. Auburn's mm-hmm. defense played really well in that game. You know, Bo Nix put them in a bad spot many times, so don't overlook how good Auburn's defense has been playing. I think Kevin Steele's unit, you know, this is a game where they got to once again rise to the occasion, save Gus Malzahn's job. Kevin Steele, probably the most underrated coordinator in the SEC. I had him as the number one defensive coordinator in the SEC heading into the year. Certainly, I think you'd give that to Barry Odom at this point, but Kevin Steele's defense is still playing pretty well, and we know that Ole Miss can't stop the run. And I agree with you, Shade. I mean, Gus saying we're going to go to the ground game, I heard that one before, and if they don't, if they don't do it, they're going to get beat. But I think, I guess an opponent like Ole Miss, hell, they may fire him in Oxford if they throw it 47 times again. So I think they're going to do the opposite this game. I think they're going to run it about 50, 60 times, however many it takes. I think that's how many they're going to run. And I think Auburn survives and covers. Auburn 28, Ole Miss 24. I'm a little concerned that maybe that Ole Miss offense has kind of been figured out a little bit, but it was just one bad game, so and there was the wind, obviously, all that, we covered that, so that could play a part, but I think Auburn gets the W here.
Yeah, you're wrong, but, you know, Auburn's hurt me, man. You know, Auburn's hurt a lot of people, especially these fans. They're just not playing well. You know, I don't want to see finger pointing. I don't want to see a hot seat talk, but I think that's what we're going to have after this game, Mike, especially if Auburn doesn't figure it out. This is a team that's probably under the most pressure right now in the SEC.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, like I said, I mean, Gus will survive if they lose this, but well, survive the weekend. I was just kind of kidding, but this may be the beginning of the end if once again he suffers another loss as a road favorite here. All right, the CBS game, Shane, Alabama at Tennessee. Crimson Tide currently a 21-point favorite according to my bookie. Game's going to play at 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. Who do you like in this matchup?
Well, of course, Tennessee, babe. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you know, I go into these games thinking the best possible scenario happening. You know what I'm saying? I do this every time. I did it with the juggernauts of Georgia Bulldogs, and I considered it for a brief moment with Alabama Crimson Tide. But on these hikes, Mike, you know, I gain clarity. And on top of that mountain, I realized one thing, Mike, that we don't stand a snowball's chance in hell in beating this Crimson Tide team. I mean, it may be if it were just one explosive weapon, but they've got 10 and their defense is legit and gelling and coming together. The quarterback play is fantastic. Our quarterback play is horrific. All week long, Pruitt just pretty much made excuses for Garantano on why he's their quarterback. I just honestly, Mike, anyway I dissect this game, I'm not looking forward to it, but I am because it is a rivalry and there's always that chance. I'm always going to pull for him. This ain't it, man. This ain't the year. And that's why I've got Alabama winning, but not covering the spread. So there's that. 42, Tennessee, 28.
Well, Shane, this is one of my favorite things about college football. Week to week, you just never know what you're going to get. Now, of course, Alabama may be a little bit different animal because Nick Saban's program's been so consistent over the years, but you know, how many times we talk ourselves into these things where, hell, it was 2 weeks ago we were burying Texas A&M. Now people saying they could go to the college football playoff. Georgia struggling against Arkansas. I picked them to beat Auburn, and then they just look like world beaters the next couple weeks. Ole Miss, I mean, they look unstoppable against Alabama. Next week, barely get in the end zone against Arkansas. I mean, the list goes on and on. Kentucky, they look dead in the water. Tennessee's got the greatest offensive line maybe ever assembled. 2 weeks later, they can't score a damn touchdown against Kentucky, or I guess Georgia against Kentucky. I mean, now it looks like people calling for the offensive line coach to be fired. I mean, this is college football. It's up and down. And I know Alabama's is juggernaut of a team, like you said. There's nothing, what you said is incorrect. I mean, everywhere you look, they got Najee Harris. No, I don't believe there's a player in the SEC scored more touchdowns than that guy at the skill positions. Mac Jones, my God, they're comparing him to Joe Burrow already. I don't know if you saw that. That was ridiculous. But people saying, is he better than Tua? He's the new Joe Burrow. Defense is coming around. Dylan Moses just played his best game, Nick Saban said this week. It's all coming together. And then here you got Tennessee getting embarrassed at home by Kentucky, firing coaches. The Kentucky coaches are claiming somehow, I guess they do, from the other sideline, coaches getting fired in the middle of the game, running to tell Matt Jones. So he's spreading that word out there. Doom and gloom. Tennessee's done. Everyone's on the hot seat. Everyone's fired. Garantano, never want to see him again. And then a game like this comes around, and it can turn in an instant, Shane. I'm calling for the upset of the spread. Alabama 38, Tennessee 24. I think this is going to be a ball game, though. I think this will be, you know, obviously Alabama will win in the end. They'll pull out in the second half, late in the fourth, kind of like they did last year. I don't think we're getting the same Alabama. I just don't think we can get that 2 weeks in a row coming off. No one called it the game of the century, but it basically was that last week against Georgia. Backs against the wall. Nick Saban, the roller coaster of, is he in? Is he out? You know, that there was just so much invested in that game emotionally and physically. I think Alabama's going to, I don't know. I just sense it, Shane. I think Tennessee might even jump out to a lead in this one. So call me crazy, but Tennessee, I'd lock them up, but I did that last week and I look like a damn fool. So I'm not locking them up again. But yeah, Tennessee, I think, covers the spread. And I'm pretty confident about that one. Hey, Shay, well, before we move on, let's remind the listeners we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sports book. Head on over to MyBookie.ag today. All new customers receive a 100% deposit match up to $1,000. That means if you're a new customer to MyBookie.ag and you put in the promo code THATSEC, that's THATSEC, they will match your initial deposit up to $1,000, so you could potentially start with $2,000 to gamble on, Shane, immediately. And we got this college football firing up. We're going to get into some picks here. But, man, I'm just fired up that college football is finally here, and the only thing that makes football better, in my opinion, is drinking some beer and betting all these games. So head on over to mybookie.ag. Once again, that promo code is THATSEC. Over at mybookie.ag, thousands of cross sports wagers, props, parlays, all that. Winning season begins today only at mybookie with that promo code THATSEC. All right, next game on the docket here, Shane. Kentucky, 5.5-point favorite at Missouri. Who do you like in this matchup, which our buddy Chris says it's going to be mighty cold up there?
Mighty cold indeed. And, well, I'm going to be pretty cold with my bold prediction here, Mike. Here's the deal. Kentucky has been fantastic. They really have. I mean, if you watch the game against Tennessee, that defense just, like I said, like angels in the outfield, man. They were just in the right spot at the right time. And this feels like 2 weeks in a row. Like God has gifted this team to just be the turnover kings of the SEC. And as much as I would like to see that continuing, I just don't think it can. I think eventually the turnover rate is going to return back to normalcy. The first two games, they've really struggled to get those. So I think this thing balances out. And my concern is at that point is that it's going to be Terry Wilson's job to put points on the board. It's not going to be the defense. And if Mizzou has showed us anything, if Coach Eli has showed us anything, is that he can take little talent and make big things out of it. Just what we've been seeing from this quarterback, the guy's playing almost as if he's a redshirt junior or something. He's making plays, he's making progressions, He's looking fantastic. They're Roundtree's balancing out this offensive attack. The defense is doing just enough. Nick Bolton, oh my God, is probably one of the best players I've ever seen. And he is like three players on that side of the ball, it feels like at times. And he's going to be in the backfield making Terry Wilson very frustrating and very upset. And I think those flaws are exposed because now, like I said, that this is going to come down to offense versus offense. And I just like Mizzou's offense better than I do Kentucky right now. Now, fair, I do want to say, Mike, if there's any silver lining, I've been wrong about Kentucky quite a bit. I'm not saying that this is a revenge pick, but and it's not. You know, it has nothing to do with me sending two bottles of whiskey up north today. It doesn't, Mike.
Wait, I thought that was olive oil.
Olive oil. Oh, man, I hope my boys don't get caught at the state line. Why is that a problem? I don't understand. Prohibition was so long ago. So, but anyway, Mike, I just, you know, it has nothing to do with that. It's just, I honestly watched that game last week, and I was not impressed with the offense. And granted, the defense was fantastic, but again, turnovers are you can't rely on that. That can't be the outlier of every game you go into. It has worked and has been fantastic the last 2 weeks. But if this thing gets any type of a shootout, which I imagine it's going to, I have to lean a little more toward Mizzou just because of what I've seen and the groundwork that Coach Eli has done up there. So that's why I'm leaning a little more toward Mizzou in this game. I don't know if I've said the score yet, so might as well go ahead and knock that out. Mizzou 28, Kentucky 21.
Ooh, them Wildcats are going to be mad at you. That does sound like a revenge pick.
Oh man, I you know what, Mike? I may be wrong, and I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong. Because it does feel like a revenge pick. I'll tell you, Mike, I'll make you a little bet.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, I will sing the fight song for the Kentucky Wildcats on Monday.
Ooh.
But I'm going to tell you, brother, I just don't see it happening.
Okay. Well, you could be right here, Shane. But I think if there's one team that really wanted to keep playing, you know, all these teams do, they don't want to force to be taking the week off due to COVID or you know, one of the other teams not able to play because of COVID. I think the one team that it really hurt that they had to miss out last week, it would have been Missouri. Yeah. They would have played Vanderbilt, and we all know their struggles, so I'm not saying, I guess that's part of it. Maybe that's why they've looked so poor the last couple weeks, but Missouri, I think, certainly would have won that ball game. Would have had a two-game winning streak going into this one. Instead, they have to take a week off. Now, they did get some guys back themselves from the COVID, so maybe I could be dead wrong on this, but I just think the momentum they got against LSU, I don't know if they're going to be able to carry it over. It seems like that's been so long ago. And you know, last time I checked, I mean, we still don't know what we got in LSU. Hell, Mississippi State looked awesome after they played LSU, and since then they've been a complete disaster.
Right.
So I'm not saying Missouri is going to be a complete disaster, but maybe reading too much into beating LSU, that'll remains to be seen. But you kind of hinted at it. I mean, Kentucky's been a damn interception machine here. Now you're getting a redshirt freshman quarterback who, yes, he's looked outstanding in the two games this year that he's played significant minutes. But at the same time, I mean, how much coverage has he seen? And I think Kentucky's going to be ready for him. They're going to be dialing up some exotic looks for him. And if they're confusing Garantano and they're confusing KJ Costello, I certainly think they could confuse Bazelak here. So, and I don't think it's going to be a shootout here. You know, going back to that weather report, I mean, it's going to be freezing. It's going to be cold. Not saying you can't have a shootout in that type of weather, but I think it's going to be a little bit low scoring, and we've already seen Missouri when they go up against a team. Now let's give them credit. They stifled LSU on the running game, but against Tennessee. They're the ones that made Tennessee look like world beaters on the offensive line. And we all know Kentucky's strength is on that offensive line. So I think Kentucky's going to have some success here on the ground against Missouri. I think they go on the road, extend that streak to 6 in a row. I'm going Kentucky 24, Missouri 17. And it, maybe it's the opposite of you, Shane. Your pick was a revenge.
Yeah.
Me, I'm trying to get Kentucky people off my back. I mean, my God. Good luck finding a Tennessee graduate that picked Kentucky third in the East this year. Well, guess what? It's the guy you're destroying here online. So, I was on the Kentucky bandwagon. Of course, I jumped off it. But before anyone else. So keep that in mind when you're living in my mentions here.
I think I just need to see one more. And, you know, because when I watched that game last week, I don't know. I think you could throw a lot of that out because of how bad Tennessee played. When you give up 2 pick six right out of the start, you know, and another interception leads to a field goal, you're down 17-0, not because of your offense, because of your defense, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I want to see one more. I want to see one more week. It was sloppy with Ole Miss. It was sloppy with Auburn. Tennessee, yeah, that was a good game, but I just got to see one more week. And I'm with you, Mike, because you got to remember, going into this thing, I was high on Kentucky. I thought they were serious contender. I had them third. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that Terry Wilson would be a lot further along than he is right now. I keep buying into Terry Wilson hype every freaking year, you know, and the offensive line, I talked about how great they were, you know, the stable of running backs. They got a fantastic crew back there. They just needed a few playmakers that can catch the ball, you know, and this offense is going to be on fire, but I didn't see it. I haven't seen it. I just see good defense, and I want to see these Hogs take over a game. I want to see this offensive line that we've touted as the best group in the SEC potentially. I want to see them take control of a game. They haven't been able to do that, and they got an opportunity, man. Tennessee did move around Mizzou's front, and if Kentucky's able to do that and this defense keeps playing the way they're doing, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Kentucky runs away with this thing. It's just I'm afraid this thing's going to get in some sort of shootout, and if it does, I think Mizzou's just got better weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a cat now, Mike. Yep, just throwing that out there. I lost the bet, and I got a cat after that Wildcat loss.
All right, final matchup of the week, Shane. ESPN night game, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, South Carolina at LSU. We got ourselves a hype video.
You are looking live at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
No place on earth like Tiger Stadium after dark.
Prime time of the Delta.
College football is all about the noise, about the energy.
The most electric atmosphere anywhere in football.
The stadium starting to shake.
Death Valley roars to life.
There are few better than the one you're about to witness here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
No place on earth quite like it. The deafening display of unity for the passionate faithful of LSU.
All right, so LSU favored in this game at home, Saturday night, Death Valley. LSU favored by 6 points against the Gamecocks. Who do you like in this matchup?
I really did get a cap, Mike.
Oh, I can hear it.
It's gone now. All right. I was going to do the sacrifice, and I just didn't have it. That's why we lost. No, I'm just kidding. where are we? Oh, South Carolina. Okay, Mike, you want to talk about hype videos? You want to talk about hype? South Carolina's got all the hype right now. I mean, it is maximum overdrive. These fans are going crazy. They love the product. I love the product. It's getting better every single week. This is good football. And then you got the LSU Tigers, you know, down there. Coach O's banging all these women, and Odell Beckham Jr. can't go down there anymore. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, they're losing scholarships. Coach Wade got the FBI down there. LSU's a little bit of a hot mess right now coming off that natty. You know, it's almost like they're hungover and they're just having trouble getting going. And South Carolina's kind of found their niche, and you know, they've added to it with Brooks. Now they've got an extra receiver, extra eyes on the field. I don't know. I love everything about the Gamecocks just because they're playing as a team, man. They really are. It's almost like I said on an earlier pod, it's almost like that Arkansas feel of the East. It's just these guys, I think they're right behind Muschamp. They're supporting, you know, his decisions, and Muschamp feels like he's got their backs. Whatever, you know, they're just playing great football. So that's why, even though this bye week was huge for LSU, the fact that Miles Brennan's not going to be there, I think Muschamp's going to dial some stuff up, get these new quarterbacks on their heels. That's the last thing you want, a team that's already having struggling blocking up front and getting the running game going. So I've got South Carolina pulling off yet another upset, man. This is upset week. I've got South Carolina winning 31, LSU 28.
Ooh. Yeah, and you hit it there. That was announced right before we started here. Miles Brennan not going to play. Freshman TJ Finley, the tank, he's going to be starting for LSU. Now, Coach O says Max Johnson likely to play in this game as well. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe that could be a throwaway comment, but it is interesting to me that you name a starter and then you name another guy that's going to play. I mean, how often can you go into a game with the plan to have two guys playing a quarterback? Now, they are different from what I understand. Max Johnson, a little bit more of a runner. TJ Finley, kind of a big arm and a big, that's why we call him the tank. He's a big old guy. So maybe that makes some sense. You know, different situations, different players. But everything we've seen from LSU this year, I'm not too impressed with them. I mean, outside of, obviously, Terrence Marshall's been outstanding. I think Eric Gilbert's lived up to the hype. And Miles Brennan looks the part. But outside of that, I mean, what are we holding our hats on here? Because the defense is in shambles. Now, they say they've kind of simplified everything. But I don't know if that's really what you want to be hearing this many games into the season, that we had to dumb everything down, you know. And yeah. Stingley looks like, you know, I hope he's 100%, but he was clearly not quite himself in that last game. I think he was, he's been banged up. And so how healthy is he going into this matchup? I think that's going to be important. And with flipping over to the South Carolina side, I mean, Shy Smith, that's going to be a major battle there between Stingley and Shy Smith. And if Shy Smith has his way with a banged up Stingley, I mean, this one's over. So Kevin Harris is heating up at running back. Mike Bobo, I don't think he's gotten enough respect yet. Barry Odom, everything we say and everything everyone's saying about the job he's doing, he deserves every bit of it. But right behind him, I think, is Mike Bobo, is the offseason addition in the SEC that's probably been the best as far as assistant coaches go. So if he can, you're talking Mike Bobo versus Bo Pelini. I'm going to favor Mike Bobo in that matchup every day based on what we've seen this year. So, hey, I'm right there with you, Shane. South Carolina defense heating up. LSU is going to have to rely on this running game. And maybe they've got the players to do it. They've got some touted linemen, some really good running backs, but still, I've not yet seen it. So I can't really just go with blind faith. I got to go with what I've seen. And yeah. I think the wrong team's favored here. And I don't think you're going to get many games like this where they favor the wrong team this many games into the season. So I'm locking it up, Shane. South Carolina Gamecocks 30, LSU 17.
Whew.
Nearly a 2-touchdown win. And that's incredible that they're the underdog. Take that. Head on over to my bookie and bet up the Gamecocks while you can before that spread gets change because I think the wrong team's favored.
Oh, I can hear the angry tweets now, Mike.
All right, Shane. So, that, hey, believe it or not, that's all the games we got. We only got four games this week, a slower week here in the SEC. But, you know, outside of this Alabama-Tennessee game, I think they're all toss-ups potentially. So we're going to get treated to some really good games. And, hell, we're both picking Tennessee to cover. So maybe that game is going to be a lot more interesting than we suspect. But, you know, a little bit shorter of a predictions there. But, hey, you want to give us a rundown of how the fans are voting for these games?
Absolutely, man. Something we started this week was a poll. We're going to run it every Wednesday with the SEC teams and the SEC spreads, and you pick who you think is going to win. So this week we polled Auburn at Ole Miss. Again, that was, what was it, a three-point favorite when, let's see, never mind, cut that part out. I've got, out of all the votes, 77% of the listeners think Ole Miss is going to win with the points there.
They're with you, Shane.
Yeah, I'm liking that. I'm liking that. Next one, we got Alabama-Tennessee. And it looks like the polls are favoring Alabama. 74% are going to say over 21 points there for Alabama.
It's interesting how they're both in the 70 range.
Yeah, no, I like that. Well, this one comes down. This was a little bit less uncertain, probably like me, is a Kentucky-Mizzou game. And 68% took Kentucky minus, what is it, 5.5 at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, South Carolina versus LSU, 72%. Again, there's the 70%. That's how confident they are that South Carolina – and the points, they're going to take that. So, I, you know, kind of mirroring what, well, I mean, mirroring what you said, I said, there's a lot of it right here. So I'm just curious, you know, this is the first one that we did. You know, I'm curious at the end of this weekend, how the poll's going to look, but, you know, something we're going to start doing more often and keeping an eye on it. So again, Ole Miss favored Alabama, Kentucky, and South Carolina.
Yeah, and I think the most interested thing that I'll be looking for is to see if the fans are more accurate than we are. Because we
I'm always looking for a competitive edge in gambling, Mike. So if I see a trend over there, I'm definitely going to start leaning that way. So this was awesome. It was a great request. And, you know, I mean, this wasn't our idea. This came from you guys. So I appreciate, you know, the listeners chiming in. They got an idea. We've changed our intro song a little bit. And we've got the new Wednesday thing going. Weatherman, you can't beat the weatherman. So I love it. I love growing with you guys. I love listening, watching football. You know, that we've only got four games, but that's all day, man. You know, I got one to watch early, I got two to watch in the middle, and then I got one there at the evening. So that's enough football for me. I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane. Well, that's all I got. You got anything before we hop off here?
Yeah, buddy. I got some reviews. All right, Mike. Well, I appreciate everybody sending in those reviews. Those really do help us out. 5-star ratings. And just remember, if you got an iPhone, Apple product, you read that thing or put that thing in there, I'll be sure to read it on Friday. This one here, Mike, we'll start off with, comes from AR Gray Boy. Best SEC podcast. 5-star. Thanks, guys, for not talking about COVID or politics, just full SEC football. Go Hogs. Well, AR Gray Boy, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Ray Boy.
We did a little COVID talk this week, but we'll rein it back in next week. Dan underscore G, best C. Jeez, Mike, it's going to be a long one. No, I'm just kidding. Best CFB pod, 5-star. Best in-depth coverage of the SEC you will find. No bias, just love the league and the sport. These guys are the best at what they do. Well, Dan, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Next comes from Justin Norgard. Cool name. Best podcast there is. 5-star. Most entertaining football podcast out there. I listen every day, and you can make some real money betting against Cousin Shane. Well, Justin Nogard, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Justin.
Next one comes from Ricky the Gator Guy. What y'all doing, you big Tennessee homer? 5-star. Every time I hear that phrase, I know it's going to be a great episode by Shane and Mike. I love that SEC podcast, and it loves me. Here is my question. How long do you think Todd Grantham will last? And if Florida loses to LSU, will he be fired? On the contrary, if LSU loses, will Bo Pelini be fired? I do think Bo Pelini is a great defensive coordinator, as he was on the 2007 LSU staff as well. Thank you very much. Well, Ricky the Gator Guy, I appreciate the review, and I'm going to turn this question over to Mike.
Man, this is just where we're at in SEC. We lose a game, who are we going to fire? We just
defensive
won.
Line coach.
Well, I guess you got a point there. But you know, Florida won 11 games last year. They won 10 the year before. I know the defense hadn't been that good, but no, I ain't getting rid of Todd Grantham. And particularly if they would have lost that game to LSU, I wouldn't have fired him. But we'll see at the end of the year. I think Florida's going to have a good defense by the end of the year. LSU had a bad defense to start last year. What happened to them? So, yeah. I pumped the brake on firing people in the midseason. I think that's a bad look.
Just yet. But I'm telling you, if they drop another game, you know, I mean, the finger point may start. So this one comes from Chris H. 42, a lot of numbers. Go Dawgs, 5-star. Great show. Much more enjoyable than watching SEC Network for 4 hours. Happy we even have a season for y'all to discuss. Well, Chris H., I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Chris.
Next one comes, and I catch myself watching SEC Network sometimes for 4 hours. It does get a little repetitive. But Cadam, 9-3, a lot of numbers. Great podcast, 5-star. Great podcast. Always keep it fun and fair. Makes work go by much faster. Go Dawgs. Well, Cadam, a lot of numbers. I appreciate you.
Yeah, and hey, Justin, just for you, Cadam, Georgia just landed a recruit. Kamar Lassiter, 3-star defensive back from Tuscaloosa. There you go. Good news for you.
Oh, look at that. 3-star. Don't even need him, Mike. You know what I'm saying? 3-star. What's he going to do? Practice squad? Anyway, just kidding.
Josh Dobbs was a 3-star.
Yeah, but he wasn't on the Georgia Bulldogs either, Mike.
That's true.
They round up down there. J-Mac, Rocky Top, 365, 5-star. This podcast is a must for any SEC fan. Listen to you guys every morning. The breakdowns of each team is spot on. Thanks, and go Vols. Well, J-Mac, Rocky Top, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, J-Mac.
Next one comes from Dancing Man. Cool name. Dog fan here. 5-star. Good show. Flows well and great content. Well, Dancing Man, meant a few words, but I like your name. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Dancing Man.
Next one comes from Poke Go Trainee. Well, that's a cool one. Long time listener, first time reviewer, 5-star. Hello, boys. Hope all is well. I love the SEC forecast episode featuring Chris. Sound bites from the coaches are great touch. Keep them coming, and go Vols. Go Post coming down as we upset Alabama.
Uh-oh.
Well, Poke Go, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Poke Go.
God, I hope he's right. Next one comes from GJ Will. A lot of numbers. 5-star. First time listener and completely love it. Keep up the good work and roll tide. Well, DJ Will, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, DJ.
I hope he ain't bringing a cigar, Mike. You know, it's something we haven't talked about, but you know, I've been a year smoke-free. I'm telling you right now, if we beat them, I'm smoking a cigar. And then I'm still quitting, okay?
Okay.
Vols fans, I mean, there should be like a rule. You know, you beat Bama. All right. Vols fans, 8E numbers. What email do I send to? 5-star. Hey, y'all. I can't find where I send my 5-star review to. Please mention it on the next podcast. Go Vols. Well, everything is that SEC podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Reddit, and Gmail. So the email address you're looking for is that SEC podcast at Gmail. Just send a screenshot and we'll get a koozie your way.
Yeah, and that email is also located in the show notes of every episode for anybody else out there.
Oh, that's good. And look at Mike doing all that hustling. Next one comes from CL20. Sick 'em. 5-star. The only sport I follow closely is college football, and I really only care about the best conference in the NCAA. As a father of two toddlers, my TVs are mostly occupied by frantic YouTube channels, so I don't have any time for ESPN or SEC Network. Thankfully, the biggest screen in the house belongs to me all day, every Saturday this fall. This podcast keeps me up to date with all the stories I miss between games. It's relaxing to listen and sit in Atlanta traffic on my way from way home from work. I'm a Georgia grad, but I have friends and family who spent several different SEC schools, so I appreciate the equal time is given to every coach and the matchup each week. Keep up the great work, and go Dawgs! Well, CL20, I appreciate you!
Yeah, appreciate you, CL.
Man, I went through Atlanta, Mike. It's the first time I ever seen 10 lanes of traffic. I mean, could you imagine? I always go at night because I don't want to be in the middle of it when it's busy. But the next one, cuz from, and them guys know how to drive. I was up in, just real quick, side cap, that ain't even a word. But I was up there at Marietta, man. I will tell you right now, it's like NASCAR drivers, every single one of them. And if you didn't hammer down, you were not leaving that red light or that stop sign. So aggressive driving is definitely near Atlanta. Next one comes from Maryland Gamecock Blake. Awesome pod and go Gamecocks. 5-star. Since both of you guys picked South Carolina to pull off and beat Auburn, I finally decided to grab my work phone and leave another 5-star. Uh-oh. Love you guys in this pod. Been listening for over a year or 2 years now and look forward to each and every episode. Keep up the good work, guys. And also, sorry about your Vols, Shane. Garantano! Well, we'll get to see him again Saturday, Maryland Gamecock Blake, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Blake.
Next one comes from Rice Rocket. That's a cool name. Rice Rocket. Happy you weren't wrong, Cousin Shane. 5-star. Holy moly. When I heard Cousin Shane put in his lock of the week last Friday, I was praying Auburn would have come out. I was praying Auburn would come out of his mouth. To my shock and heartbeat, he picked the Cocks to pull off the upset. Thank goodness the Gamecocks pulled it off, because it would have been a shame to unsubscribe from this fantastic SEC podcast. Oh, a lot of pressure, Mike. SEC Mike and Cousin Shane are by far the most informative and entertaining 1-2 punch in the SEC podcast existence. They take the time to cover every SEC team and poke fun of each team's miscues. Keep up the great work, fellas. And Cousin Shane, please try to stay 1-for-1 in picking the Gamecocks as lock of the week. And don't give us Gamecock fans any more heart attacks. Hope UT gets off the mat and pulls off against Bama this weekend. Well, I appreciate that. Go Cox! Beer recommendation, Other Half Brewing in Brooklyn, New York. Signed, USC LAX. Well, Rice Rocket, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for that one, Rice. We really do appreciate the kind words.
Appreciate the Gamecocks winning. Made me a little money, too. Fire Derek Mason, killer name. I listen to this podcast every day. 5-star. That SEC podcast is by far the greatest resource for information on the SEC football across all podcasting platforms. The content is always informative, and these two have a great sense of humor. I'm a longtime listener from Nashville, Tennessee, and a Vanderbilt fan, although it's getting harder and harder to watch each game every week. Anyways, keep up awesome content, and fire Derek Mason. Well, fire Derek Mason, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. I hope the Commodores, they're the sleeping juggernaut, man. They need to get their act together.
I'm telling you right now, Mike, we just need a billionaire to take us in. We can go up there and create an absolute machine. Me and you can be co-athletic directors. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just give us free reigns. We're going to build them a new stadium. We're going to make it entertaining. We're going to get Nashville involved. It could be serious. But until, you know, the first step, we do need to fire Derek Mason. Next one comes from W. Ross M., 5-star from Gamecock Country. Been listening since the beginning of the SEC, and I really enjoy it. Now it's my weekly arsenal of podcasts. Keep up the good work. Well, W. Ross M., I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Ross.
Next one comes from, oh man, that's a name, SZ Rebel 21. Great podcast, 5-star, fantastic mix of comedy and knowledge, analysis and humor. I love this show and will absolutely recommend it to everyone I know that watches football. Thank you guys for everything and keep it up. Hashtag Jordan Rogers blows. Well, Rebel, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Rebel.
Last but not least, this comes from Dax Pimp. Another happy Gamecock. 5-star. Hey, buddy. I hope someone picks up that phone because you freaking called it. Throwing down this 5-star review for you boys. Calling that Auburn win by my Gamecocks. Great show. And love the balance and information with a cold beer and get me through the week. Go Cox, Spurs up. Well, Tax Pimp, we both doubled down again on them Gamecocks this week, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate that one. And remember, we got koozies for, we got koozies for Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Arkansas, Auburn, Tennessee, and on the way, we got Alabama. We got LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Kentucky. They got that big win. We got to get you koozies too. So, hey, before long, we'll have the entire SEC. But if you're a fan of one of those fan bases and you, one of those schools and you haven't sent us that 5-star review, you've been waiting on that koozie. They're coming in. So get in those reviews. We'll send you a beer koozie of your choice, free of charge. That's just our way of saying thanks. But, hey, Shane, I'm looking forward to another weekend of SEC action. I think that's all. You got anything else before we hop off here?
Just one last thing, Mike, because I am curious to your thoughts. What's the big question you want answered this weekend?
Big question? Is Garantano? is he still going to be starting? I mean, because...
Is that it?
I mean, that's a pretty big question, yeah.
That's a pretty big question. It's a homer question. I thought I was going to say that one, but my big question, Mike, is... Does Matt Corral really, is he legit? Is he a game changer? You know, he's looked very impressive up to this point. They're my lock of the week because I think he is. I think he has something that could really help these Ole Miss Rebels win a lot of games. So I think he bounces back. I think he had a little bit of that humble pie last week, but I want to see, does he belong in the upper echelon of quarterback plays in the SEC. So that's my big question.
I got a better one. You put me on the spot. Okay. I wasn't ready. I got two. Is Bo Pelini, does he know what the hell he's doing? It doesn't look like it. He's had 2 weeks to prepare for South Carolina. Get his ass out of there if South Carolina just goes wild on LSU. And then the other one, if Auburn loses, is Gus Miles on? Is he even welcome back on the plane? So those are my two big ones.
If he loses, you think there's a chance he gets fired this week?
No, but he'll be fired by the end of the year if they lose this one, I think.
Well, let's throw one more in there since I done pissed off all the Big Blue Nation. I want to know if this defense is legit and does Terry have anything in the tank? I think we see a quarterback change. I said it last week, kind of almost happened even though they won the game. I think his days are numbered. So how good does Joey do? So, all right, that's the questions I want answered. And all the listeners, appreciate you hanging out with us. The reviews, they helped us out. Koozies be heading your way. We've got some whiskey. Head to Kentucky across state lines. I mean, it's been a fantastic week, Mike. You know, debts are getting paid. But I'm looking forward to these four games. I know it's not the number we expected or, you know, thought coming into the season. But, damn, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, and thanks again one last time for Chris for giving us that weather report. That's great stuff. So that's going to do it, Shane. My dinner's sitting here right outside the other window. I got to jump off here, but I do appreciate you hopping on with me here. Appreciate you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one, and enjoy the weekend of games.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Upset. Thank you.
Hey there, SEC fans. If you've been enjoying the music on this podcast from Crimson Calamity, you can show your appreciation for the band by pre-saving the new single, Ghost, coming Friday, October 23rd, to all major streaming services. To find out how you, that SEC podcast listeners, can get an exclusive acoustic download of the track ahead of time, head to www.crimsoncalamitymusic.com and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook to hear it first. Thanks for listening. Now back to you, Mike and Shane.